Be obsessed with that one thing. I think that's right, man, because a lot of people look at the business that I've built and other people online and their friends and say, I need that. Like, I need 4 cold callers. I need a staff of 8. I need 2 virtual assistants. When the reality is, I made a lot of money by myself in a room, you know, doing phone calls myself. I made $20,000 to $30,000 before I had anybody on staff. And I mean, repeatedly, month after month. So you don't have to have a lot of people. You really just need to educate yourself on that one thing, become good at it.
Yep.
I gave up my first year. I probably gave up a dozen or more subject to deals. I just wasn't ready, you know, but I was an expert at something else. So I think finding that one thing is important.
All right, so on this episode, we got a very good friend of the Carrot family, Max Maxwell. So you may have stumbled across Max on YouTube or on Instagram, or maybe you heard of his Wholesaling Elite Live conference. Dude's just blowing up, putting out awesome free content, just bringing a lot of value to the real estate world. See, Max has honed his skills enough to where in 2018, he pulled in $1 million in revenue, mostly just by wholesaling. And he's using those same skills to empower tons of other new investors. So hopefully they can do the same. So we invited Max onto the summit to find out why he's shifting his strategy. You see, Max has always been a big fan, been a big advocate of cold calling. He's crushed it with cold calling. And at the time of recording this, he still is cold calling and he's not against it. But recently, he's actually started to shift his strategy away from cold calling. Now, this is really interesting, and we want to tell you where he's shifting his strategy to, where more of his time, energy, and money is going into, but you got to hear it in the episode. But first, before we dive in, I want to let you know where this episode came from and how you can get more content like this. So recently at Carrot, we held our first ever Market Leaders Summit. Now, this is not your average webinar. What we did is for 2 whole days, we gathered the top real estate investors from around the country and we picked their brains on exactly what they're doing to thrive in this industry in 2019. We asked them their strategies, their tactics, their tips. We wanted to know everything they're doing that's made them successful real estate investors. So the episode that you're hearing today is actually just 1 session out of the 16 that we recorded live. If you want to get access to the rest of the sessions for a limited time of 50% off, head to carrot.com/summit, where you can grab all of the recordings for 50% off and have lifetime access to them. Now, in the summit, we had Max Maxwell, who did over $1 million last year in wholesaling alone. He's given away his best strategies. We also had Dave Brown, who is pulling in multiple 6 figures 100% from SEO. We had Christina Krause dropping absolute knowledge bombs on direct mail and everything she's doing to make direct mail work for her. You see, day 1 of the summit was all about leads. How do I get more leads? How can I close more deals? Day 2 was about how can I build a business for freedom, flexibility, profit, and impact? How can I really build a business that sets me free? Systems, hiring, everything else you need to know. So head to carrot.com/summit to get the recordings while they're still here. Enjoy this episode, and we'll see you in just a bit.
Max, welcome on the Market Leader Summit, dude. We're going to have a fun convo here, and I appreciate you taking the time away. So let people know kind of who you are, where are you in the country, and what do you do? What do you do for work?
So my name is Max Maxwell. I basically run a wholesaling operation that flips every now and then. I'm in the Triad area to North Carolina, so I went to sell in Greensboro and High Point. I started this business roughly a little bit over 2 years ago in October of 2016. September 28th was my first contract. And since then, I've just been steady at it and trying to grow every single day. And I learn every single day in this business. So far from a guru, more of a duru. And I have a YouTube that I started sharing my journey as I grow my company a little over a year ago. And it's doing pretty well.
Dude, I love it. So where can people, let's get this out of the way fast. Where can people follow you on Instagram and YouTube? And then we'll dive into what your year looked like last year. I know you guys cracked that 7-figure mark. And then what are we doing this next year?
So I'm on Instagram, The Real Maxwell. You could just search Max Maxwell somewhere and I'll pop up. I'm everywhere. So just search my name, Max Maxwell, and in either Instagram or YouTube and you'll find me.
I love it. So, it was September. You were out here at Carrot Camp. You and Tony were out here. And it was amazing getting a chance to finally meet you guys. And just, I love your energy. And I think that's a lot of the reason that people are really latching onto your guys' journey is the energy and the positivity. But you're also real. You're showing everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talked about out here at Carrot Camp, you dove into your cold calling process. And also, I don't remember the specifics of the numbers, but this was in September. You're on pace to crack the seven-figure mark. How did you guys end up for the year, man?
We did over that. We did pretty well over that. The month of October slowed down for me, and it was my fault. I did a conference, and I just had all of my staff kind of helping me with that, and we kind of slowed down. We still did pretty good, but we did well over that seven-figure mark.
I love it, man. So let's break this down, then we'll dive into kind of 2019, what you're seeing in the market, some things mm-hmm. that you guys are doing, if you are adjusting your strategy for 2019 at all. But what was kind of your bread and butter? I know cold calling is your jam primarily. Let's kind of mm-hmm. break down where that seven figures came from as far as your lead sources, what activities, mm-hmm. things like that.
So this year we went very, very heavy on RVM. It's one of those things that we studied over a while, and I've always been big on it. But what we did is we figured out that we needed to do a volume based business.
Yep.
So we try to touch as many people as possible. So with as many cold callers that we have, which is, four full time cold callers, we couldn't reach as many people as we wanted to. So what we did is we started doing RVMs, very, very heavily, to be able to create the outbound marketing strategy to turn it into an inbound marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. So more calls were being inside, were being brought inside versus us having to call every single one. And what it did is it showed us that our first contact with that person that we talked to actually is a good one, because they actually wanted to talk about what we wanted to talk about with, which is real estate. And so it turned an outbound marketing effort into an inbound, which mm-hmm. allowed us to talk to more people that wanted to talk to us. And we just had a more intelligent conversation. We had a product that we created that allowed us to be able to see who was calling in and have a more intelligent conversation with the person, which allowed my sales team to crack that trust equation, which is, I'm having a more intimate conversation with the seller so they kind of understand where we are.
Dude, and the first couple sessions when Ader and I kicked this off, we talked about trust, we talked about building credibility, and I feel that's going to be massive. That's going to be critical in 2019, 2020, to really separate people, is how are you building that trust? How are you building that credibility? So one thing I want to do is, Max brought up this key. He mentioned, how do we create more inbound opportunities? And one of the things that I want you guys and gals to focus on that are watching the summit right now is, the more you can create more inbound opportunities, people that are coming back to you that are better pre-qualified. But I'll expand on what he was saying. RVM, a lot of people probably I wonder what is RVM? Okay. It's basically ringless voicemail. So, you guys maybe have seen these before, where all of a sudden you see a voicemail that popped up on your phone, but it didn't ring. There's a technology out there that it's almost like a double ring. Okay. Two rings happen at the same time, which kind of cancel each other out. And then it goes directly to voicemail and drops a voicemail. And, that technology has been around for years. It's been around for a long time. The cool thing about that, y'all, and we'll dive into where he's getting his list for the RVM, things like that. But RVM, mm-hmm. it sends messages out there, drops them on the voicemail, and we'll kind of go into what he puts on those RVM messages. What do they say? What's getting people to call back? But then they call back and they're a lot more qualified. It's similar to with online, when you do online right with inbound, right? Like if people go to mm-hmm. Google, they're actually seeking you out because they're searching in a Google term. They're clicking a pay-per-click ad. They're seeking you out a lot more qualified. So Max, what else in addition to RVM? You ramped up RVM. Sounds like you scaled down cold calling outbound a little bit and took those people mm-hmm. that more inbound receiving. What else did you do in 2018?
Yeah, it's not necessarily that we scaled down cold calling. It's more that there's a capacity. There's only so much we can do as a four-man cold calling operation. There's only so many calls you can make. So we needed to supplement something with it. Cold calling is still a big part of it. We reach a lot of leads that way as well. And we also cold call the same leads that we RVM. So we're always going after them. We're pulling. So my business has a wide direction and a deep direction when it comes to leads. And I'll explain that. So our wide direction is pretty much anything that is not a pinpoint motivation, right? So you don't have a known physical or financial distress, either on the property or the person. It's more of a situational that investors like you and I have identified as life events that may change things. Literally, somebody that lives, owns a house in North Carolina and they live in Oregon.
Yep.
They don't have the emotional attachment to the house. So, you know, if you hit them at the right time, it can potentially, you know, work for them. So what I try to explain to my team and why we do things so often and so consistent is that I believe that in any business, you have a window of opportunity. And I believe that window of opportunity is always moving. And your customer is on the other side of that moving window. And what happens is if you are throwing marketing at that window, right, and it's moving, eventually something, if you're consistent, will go through that window and reach your customer. And if the timing is right, your marketing will be meaningful to them. And what I mean by that is if you're consistently cold calling, you're consistently sending RVMs, you're sending letters, whatever your marketing strategy is, if you're consistently do it and something goes through that window and hits your customer at the right time, then you can potentially solve a problem that they have. For example, if the guy in Oregon that owns a house in North Carolina, we've been calling him for the last 6 months, but he finally evicted a tenant after it took him 3 months to evict a tenant, and we happen to call him a week before court or a week after court, that window of opportunity is open and he might be open to selling his property because he is fed up with dealing, being a landlord.
Dude, so how many times, so with your cold call list or RVM, do you guys have a set amount of times that, hey, we're going to call them X amount of times over X space of time? Or kind of what's your guys' process there?
Yeah, so we stack it up in the front. So we try to get them about seven times. We'll stack five of them within the first month.
Okay, cool.
Right, and then they start to spread out after that. And then you can pretty much consider them non-reachable, just not interested.
Yep, totally. Dude, so I want to kind of dive into, let's close this gap too. I know you're a Carrot member. And the way that I look at online usually is this right here, is you've got the inbound online side of it. That's where you're going to get some of your highest margin, biggest deals out of the online side of it. But the volume comes from cold calling, direct mail, you know, a lot of those other sources. That's where your volume comes from. So where is online playing in your overall strategy? With
plays a big part. I mean, I've been a Carrot member for over 2 years. I actually started the day I got my first deal.
Yeah.
I think for me, online pays a big presence. I'm a web guy. I like internet. I like that stuff. And I know that customers that are looking to solve an exact problem go out and search it. So we've used Carrot. I've been able to rank organically on a few keywords, number one in my market. Some of the ones that are doing well by simply following posting the blogs on a regular basis that you guys create for us to put content on the website. It helps. And I also spend a lot of money on PPC, which drives traffic to that. It's very competitive, but it works. It ends up working itself out. And that gives me the presence. Actually, I'm actually going to the concierge package right now to upgrade my website.
Yep.
But you know, it's good to have a web presence because it gives you that instant credibility with somebody that is searching to solve a problem. It's no different than any other business. Like if I was a doctor or a plastic surgeon, and if I had a great website with great testimonials, great before and after photos, and I look like I can solve their problem, it just gives me a greater opportunity and allows me to hack that trust equation with that potential customer or the potential client that may need me to solve their problem.
100%, dude. And that's where it stacks on too. And I want to just reiterate this to people. And it's not because we sell a system, of course, that has websites as the core part. We have the company does what we do is because we know that that's such a critical part of all marketing, no matter if you're a plumber selling chairs across the street or a real estate investor or agent. And so make sure that website, I'm not going to stress it too much, guys and gals, but make sure you've got the credibility built out, like Max said, a good about page built out, good, clean, clear, simple branding. So when you're doing those cold calls or RVMs, make sure that, you know, if people are going to Google that phone number, that the phone number is something that can pop up your website and they can find you and build credibility. Is there anything else you're, go for it.
I mean, that's great too, because what we do is sometimes when we cold call an RVM people, obviously it's like, how did you get my number? It turns into something weird. And then it's like, hey, how do I know who you say you are? Well, go to our website.
Yep.
Check us out. You know, look things up, you know, veteran owned company, blah, 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 all that type of stuff. And we put it out there. And that's helped me seal some deals by having that credibility online, because a lot of people look at a website as credibility. And we run a lot of our Facebook ads back to our online presence anyway. So, you know, I think for me, online is very important in my market. Is it necessary to succeed in this business? No.
Yep.
Do you want to give yourself a upper leg for $100? Why not?
100%. 100%. Dude, so let's look forward now. Are you guys seeing any shifts in your, I know you're mainly in North Carolina. You were looking at expanding out of the other markets last time we talked. Are you guys seeing any type of adjustments or shifts you're having to make in the market? Is it not really changing much for you? What are you seeing?
So I believe the North Carolina market where I am in the triad has not have much of its ups and downs in the sense that we don't see too much of the high part, like your Charlottes and your Raleighs, where a lot of people are influx or coming in from out of town. Our prices have been better. We're still selling good deals in 24 hours or less. So I don't see that being a problem right now. You are seeing less cash buyers that consider there's some cash, and more people that had to borrow money are doing less.
Gotcha.
The guys that buy on yield and ROI, they're still buying the same way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. They have a long-term goal. But the guys that were borrowing hard money are slowing down a little bit. But I think our market is pretty steady. My last four flips has sold in less than 3 days on the market. So it's a still hot, good market as long as you put out a good product. And you bought, I think that's the main thing, is you buy correctly.
Yep.
And if you buy correctly, whatever that correctly means, you'll be good. But as a wholesaler, I haven't seen much of a slowdown, really. I think we're still just solving problems, and true cash buyers are still buying.
Cool. And that's one thing too, dude. Like even if a market does soften or normalize or correct, oftentimes those true cash buyers are going to come out of the woodworks more because stuff is on sale more. Yep. So what are you guys doing to build a relationship with cash buyers? And where are you meeting them?
Absolutely. That's what I say.
Oh, sorry.
A lot of it is being in the market and being very active. If you're active in this market, I think in any market, and people trust you and your name is out there, and that's why it's important to brand yourself as well as brand your business, because I get business and people refer me to other people that are interested in buying property. Might be their first time, might be their second time, but you know, people that have these self-directed IRAs, people that have corporate money sitting down that they want to do something with. So I get a lot of referrals. One thing is we reverse engineer who the buyers are, who is actively buying in the market. And we reach out to them. If they don't already know us, then we reach out to them and kind of explain what we do, put them on our list. And you'd be surprised. I mean, it's not hard to find cash buyers. I never thought it was. If you have a good product, people are going to come. I don't care what you're selling. It could be houses or coffee. If it's good, people are going to be there. So it's up to my acquisitions manager and my sales team to always buy right so we don't get stuck. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we wholesale houses where we make $1,800? Of course, it's happened. Have I had to buy product myself just because I've developed a relationship with the seller? Yes. You know, but we all make mistakes. We do it here in our company, and then we have home runs. So I think it's the market's great. I don't see the slowdowns yet. Yep. I know it's coming, and I'm hoarding cash and waiting for it.
Dude, so that right there is something I want to make people point out. So this is a great opportunity. We're going to talk about it with Jason Medley with Collective Genius tomorrow and some other ones where if you have cash, right now is a great opportunity and a time to start to pile that cash up a little bit, because some things are going to go on sale over the next year, two, 3 years, more than they have been previously. And when you start to look at times when real wealth was built, it's usually when there's a pullback, you know? So
yeah.
I'm pumped that you're stockpiling some cash there. Dude, completely going to take you to a different direction. When we were out here, you're telling us, or when you're out here at Carrot Camp, you're telling us about the rodeo. The rodeo star that you guys sponsored. I saw him on Instagram the other day.
Did you?
I think you posted it, and I saw he won one up in Canada or something like that.
So he's actually going into this weekend. We were just in New York City at the Madison Square Garden. They had the bid kickoff for the rodeo, the PBR, and he was ranked number two in the world at the time. He didn't have the best weekend, so he's still ranked number nine. But I actually have two. We have two riders that we manage, agent and sponsor through the event. And it's fun, man. It's just something different. I think being a part of the PBR is excellent. And it's crazy. I found him on YouTube. I fell in love with the story on YouTube, and I met the guy in August, and we've been rocking ever since.
Dude, so the reason I want to bring that up, and we're going to talk about this a lot in day two, but I want to kind of inject this in here before we kind of go in and break down. We'll break down your RVM process and all that stuff here in a bit. But I love that because you're finding a way to take your business and fuel your passion. It's not just taking cash, putting it over here in my bank account or just buying the car. Like, go buy the car too, but how do you do other things that really fuel your passion, amplify others? And I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, on top of that, I just got a 5,000 square foot warehouse that I'm going to turn into a creative space, all from the power of wholesaling. So, you know, I can put out more content, and other people in the community that are creative as well with photo and video can also come to the space and enjoy like I am.
Dude, I love it, man. So let's break this stuff down now. But what do you guys do in an RVM? So where do you get the list? What might you be saying on that voicemail?
So our lists are the traditional list most people pull. We don't do anything special. I talked about my wide, which is, you know, absentee type, the very stereotypical list that we pull. We hit those with RVMs, and the message is pretty simple. We pose ourselves as investors through the voicemail and say, hey, look, we're local investors to the area, looking to acquire some more property. I understand you may have a property that I think is for sale. If I've reached the right number, look, give me a call back at this number, and I'd love to talk to you about the property that you're interested in selling. So it's pretty simple. It's straightforward, and what that allows to do is to be able to have people inquire once they hear that voicemail, if they're interested in our product, then they're going to call us. Mm-hmm. And that starts the dialogue. And then that's when the sales team actually takes over and they start to massage them with questions and scripts and just their style of doing things.
Yep. I love it. So that goes out there. How many are you guys sending out at a time? Is it you send them out every single day, or do you go, hey, once a week or once a month, we're sending these out? Kind of what's your cadence?
So I'm growing right now. So as I'm growing my sales team, it's going to be more frequent. Right now, it's between 2 and 3 times a week at a set couple of hours. Each, and these are handled by my in-house team, which is just a couple doors down from my office. What they do is they get the inbound calls that we sent out that is actually going out right now. And what happens is between now and 5, they're going to be receiving a lot of these calls of people that are coming that listen to the voicemail. Then they're just going to be massaging them and then seeing if they have anything for sale. But, you know, we have in the morning, my team does outbound. They're responsible for 40 calls on the outbound. That creates some, and those are my deep list. So those are not my wide people. Those are people that we have pain points already identified, tax foreclosures, pre-foreclosures, things that really, really, we know there's a pain point, some fights for financial or physical distress. And that team does that in the morning, and in the afternoon they take care of RVMs, and it's kind of a cycle, right? And then it creates this crazy pipeline for them, and then they just round robin the leads. And if they talk to that person, they'll always be rerouted back to that person if they ever call back. So the person has a relationship with one person versus feeling like they've spoken to the whole team. So as I grow, I want to be able to start dropping it daily. Not doing it right now, looking for a few fine, good salespeople to be able to join the team. And once I do that, we'll do it daily. And the reason why I need to do it daily is because we're now expanding and going to the other markets. We talked about that before. Yep. I'm hitting a whole different state that I've never been to before to do this. And then I'm expanding within North Carolina as well.
Dude, so if you don't mind, I mean, we can go as deep on this or as mm-hmm. Light on this as you want, but going into other markets, that's something RJ Bates from Titanium Investment is down in Dallas. They're in 6 or 7 markets. This last
very year, familiar with him.
Yeah, dude, he's amazing. Him and Cassie are amazing. They did, you know, well over 100 deals this past year, and they walked through their strategies. Going to be in day two on why they went to different markets, how they picked them, things like that. Kind of, what's your strategy? Why'd you pick those markets? Share the markets if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine.
But then, I won't reveal them yet because I want to reveal them in something to show how I picked them. But the reason why I go into a market is I talk about. I try to find what's the lowest hanging fruit, right? And that's the thing. In my market, I'm willing to go so deep, my home base. I'm willing to go so deep. I understand the market like the back of my hand. These other markets, I'm literally trying to pick the lowest hanging fruit available because we have some very advanced marketing tactics that I don't need to spend a lot of money to go into a new market. Mm-hmm. So first thing, we identify a new market by reverse engineering how many cash sales are happening in that county. And then we literally narrow it down to the top 7 to 10 zip codes. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going any broader because I don't have physical boots on the ground as if I am home. I don't want to overextend myself by getting things that really just make perfect sense. So we're literally buying what they call like the unicorn deals, the things that I don't have to have so much market knowledge about. Is that, hey, look, if I can pick up three more deals a month in this market, and those three more deals might cost me $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 extra in marketing, but can yield me anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 more in the revenue, then that it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And we won't really go deep on the leads as far as, you know, the margins like you can do like it's your own backyard because you know you have the buyers. We'll literally pick the lowest hanging fruits. We'll solve their problem and we'll pass it on to an investor that's willing to, score a touchdown with whatever they want to do with it.
Dude, I'm excited for you guys because same thing. We've heard from a lot of people. You know, different markets are getting more competitive, but that's not a bad thing. And I think people need to shift their strategy sometimes. They can go deeper on a lead set, mm-hmm. like you had mentioned there. Go deeper on it, become an expert in it. Start to stack on some other types of marketing, so you can go wider in that market as well. And then mm-hmm. the next thing is now, how do we take what we've already perfected in this market? Like you said, identify markets where we can use our best stuff, pick out the low hanging fruit in two or three others. So as other people might be diving into your market more and more. Awesome. That's great. You just be the expert in certain things, but then go broad and start to stack on more. I love it.
Yeah. And I kind of brought that in upon myself by revealing so much about myself on, you know, YouTube and stuff. There's a plus and a con to it. There's more people in my market. I don't really see them as competition because we all work together to get, you know, solve the common problem, which is, you know, be able to wholesale and, you know, eventually stop all foreclosures that we can never stop. But going to other markets, allows us to see if what we actually know how to do is actually real. Is it working here and can it work there? And if it can work there, can it work over here? So eventually you develop a model where you can then eventually pick off four or five good markets and create a, you know, multi-million dollar wholesaling operation. And then that's kind of the direction that I want to go with it.
Dude, you mentioned something, and I think a lot of people aren't going to pick this up. One thing you just said in there was, it's almost like mission-based stuff, right? You said we want to prevent as many foreclosures as we possibly can in our market. And I remember is Carrot Camp, and probably before that too, when you were out here, where you guys had mentioned something to the effect of, I don't know if this would be like mission, but you're like, hey man, we want to reclaim as much back tax money for the county as possible too. And that's something like mm-hmm. in different words, but where you're almost known in that county government, where like this guy has reclaimed X amount, like $1 million in back taxes for us. So
our first year was a little over 300,000 in back taxes, like taxes that were in arrears. Mm-hmm. By wholesaling,
dude. So that right there, if you can expand on that a little bit. So what level do those two things we just talked about, the back taxes and the saving foreclosures, does that play any level in your mission, your company mission, in the way you motivate your team on your why behind why you do what you do?
You know, what I use to motivate the team is we're solving problems. Mm-hmm. And whoever that, the first problem that we can consider that we're solving is for the actual homeowner itself.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of people that are not in this business, think very skeptical of how you can ethically make money doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, listen, you have a guy that inherited a piece of property that he wants absolutely nothing to do with. He inherited something he didn't want. Period.
Yep.
And he doesn't know what to do with it. They can't list it. He just wants to get rid of it and he's willing to move quickly and you're going to solve his problem. Well, guess what? The property has also been sitting for 5 years with unpaid taxes at, you know, we're pretty cheap here with taxes, but maybe $7,000, $8,000 in back taxes.
Yep.
So now we solve the county's problem on recovering what's in the rears, and whoever's going to fix this problem is now going to make this an incoming property that's also going to be producing more taxes as the value goes up. So we just have a problem solving base mentality in our company that we're trying to solve as many problems as possible, whether it's for the homeowner, the city, the buyer, the neighborhood, whatever it is, we're trying to solve problems. And I think once I actually picked that up in my brain last year, that if we just stick to the root of solving problems, and we'll forever be in this business.
Dude, I love that. And I want everyone to take a note on that. And that left side of the piece of paper that I showed you guys, the takeaway side, I want you to add a bullet point on the takeaway side is what's another level that you can add to the way that you add motivation, add communication to you and your team around
the important way you can solve problems, the important way you can add mission and purpose behind your business. Because when you get up in the morning, there's two ways to look at it, right? Like one way is we're just going to, you know, we're going to count leads and count deals and, you know, look at all these metrics. The other way is really waking up in the morning with another level of purpose. Hey, there's a bunch of people out there in pain right now in our market, and I'm uniquely suited, perhaps the best in my market to solve that. I need to do everything in my power to get a hold of that person, and I'm going to market my ass off. I'm going to do everything I can do in my power to get a hold of that person to help them out. And that's how you guys just market the crap out of stuff and crush it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of how I became an expert at like the tax law on how the foreclosures happen in the state. And when you really boil down and you look at like a foreclosure and you look at how it's affected to the people in your community, one is if a person gets foreclosed on, it's probably impossible to buy a house, another house within 7 years. Mm-hmm. So even if you're solving that problem by alleviating that debt that they can no longer afford, they may not walk away with any money. So there may not be a monetary gain at the point, but there's a long-term gain. If you sit down and explain to them, listen, I can pay this to help you save your foreclosure. And if I save your foreclosure, then you're going to be able to go and buy a new house in 2 years. Hmm. You're going to get back on your feet. You're going to go get a new job. You're going to be stable again. And you're going to go buy a new house in 2 years. If we can't complete this deal, the other option is you won't be able to go buy a new house in 7 years. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. You know how many people go through foreclosure, get the letters, and just walk away from the house? Hmm. And the house is not foreclosed on for a year later? You know, it's very common. I think because of the lack of knowledge of home ownership, you don't know your rights. You don't know what's right or wrong. And we try to educate people on their options other than just walking away and not receiving anything. Dude, there's options.
I love it, man. If we can do this, if this is cool, let's break down the systems you use. Cause a lot of people are, someone hit me up directly. He's like, hey, what does he do for this? So, if we could, let's break down the systems you use. I know you use Carrot for your online presence. You drive PPC there. Like you mentioned, you drive your Facebook traffic there. You're going through the concierge program right now to dial in the visual of your site even more to stand out. What do you use for the RVMs and the whole cold calling side of things?
RVMs. So there, prior before, what I used to use for RVMs was Sly Broadcast. And one of the reasons why I had to develop a new product that was more advanced than Sly Broadcast is it did exactly what RVM was supposed to do.
Yep.
RVM, ringless voicemail. But there was a side where people would call us back and we wouldn't know who we were speaking to on the other line. And what we've been taught to say is, hey, I'm out in front of my computer. Do you mind telling me the address you're calling about? Well, that starts to shorten the trust that the person on the other line that doesn't know you thinks you're a scammer.
Yep.
So what we develop technology is we send out RVMs and the milliseconds before the person calls you on your computer screen pops up who they are and what property they're going to be calling about. And you literally say, hey, John, this is Max. Yeah, I was calling you about 123 Main Street. Now there's no, I don't know who you're talking about. And we pull all the public information, last sale date, taxes, you know, the current Zillow data, any pictures that we found online. And then we have information about John. We developed this deep tracing technology where now all the information about John that we could find publicly is available. What college did he go to? Where does he currently work? You know, is there any pictures of him online? What is his social stuff? So then you have all of that sitting in front of you and you feel like you're having a conversation. It's like a cheat code. I don't know if you ever remember playing like Nintendo or Sega Genesis as a kid. You know, you'd have to sit in there with the put up, down, left, right, X. It's like having that right in front of you so that you can have a more intelligent conversation with the seller. And it just helps you. And I keep talking about this. It helps you hack the trust equation by using technology. And that's pretty much what we do. So that's our RVM system. I don't send mail, but I do use Deal Machine. Deal Machine is they've made some improvements. My guy Dave over there. So I used to talk about a lot that I used to use this one product called LandGlide. And I would say LandGlide. And me and Dave were talking. I said, listen, you add that LandGlide feature where I'm just driving and I can hover over a property and it tells me all the county data. You've created a superior driving for dollar apps. And in the last 2 weeks, he did that. And we've used it more and more and more. And what the product is Deal Machine allows you to drive for dollars. You go around, you find a property that you like, you take a picture of it with your phone, it uploads into the app, and it automatically sends them a postcard. Then you can do repeating postcards. You can say every 2 weeks, every 7 days, every 10 days, and you leave it and forget it. And then the person calls you back. So instead of sending 10,000 mail pieces, you're only sending it to you driving for dollars. So we do that. And then we also try to contact the person over the phone as well. So, and it's cool when somebody gets a postcard with their picture of their house on it, you know, it gets their attention versus just a raw thing. So those are two products I use a lot. I know there's probably a bunch more. I answer any questions as far as I have.
What are you doing for lead management for CRM? I can't remember.
CRM, I am using, it's Podio based, and I'm using Investor Fuse.
Okay.
And I'm excited for their 2.0 revision launch that is happening, I think, in less than a month. I just was on the phone with our CTO guy going over what they're building, and I can't really tell you what they're releasing, but they're releasing some cool stuff. And so I'm on Investor Fuse 1.0, and I'm going to be switching over to the 2.0 system here very shortly, which is off of Podio.
Yep.
And everybody loves to hate Podio, but it's so essential.
I love it, dude. And we're going to be having Dan Schwartz on tomorrow, talking about systems, automation, things like that. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably give us more insight into all the stuff Max gave right there. And dude, you brought up Deal Machine. I had a chance to meet Dave over there at Tom Kroll's event. They're a great company. They're building really cool stuff. And one thing I just want to expand on what you're what you mentioned is it doesn't necessarily mean that Max is out there having to take it out and do it all, right? You have other people that are taking pictures that are kind of your bird dogs through it, correct?
Yeah, 100%. You can employ a team to go out there, give them their own login, and they'll take pictures and you just approve the postcards that you want sent out. Here's a funny story. Dave and I met before he actually launched the product. I met Dave in 2016. I think it was November, right after I got my first deal. I went out to a Sean Terry event in Arizona. He was there, the young guy, talking about he had a great idea. We hung out, we took a couple drinks, we talked about his product, and I'm so happy to see him grow as his vision. I love the process, so I love to see when somebody has an idea and it grows to a physical thing and it's actually here and it's helping people. So congrats to him, but it's a phenomenal product.
Dude, you talked about the process. That was one of the coolest things at the event we were both at in Asheville, North Carolina. Your talk was all about your process. And that was so cool because, I know we had a chance to sit down in this office on the orange couch over there. And Tony, and kind of go back, you know, years, all the way back to like 12, 11, 13 years old, and kind of talk about your guys' process. If you guys want to, we'll find it and link it up in the questions panel, or just go to our YouTube and look up, you know, Max and Tony, you'll see it in there. It was a really cool interview where we sat down and walked through a good hunk of it. But you took it even deeper at that one, and there were some really cool mindset shifts in there because you had some spots where, you know, where you were pretty in some low spots and you climbed out. Let's toss this out to people where if someone's entering 2019 and they're in a low spot, you know, they're not where they want to be. They're not at the apex or they're not climbing up. What's some of your advice that you would give some people if they are at that low spot, how to get back on top?
You know, for me, I took a big hit in 2015 and 16, business wise. I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, serial entrepreneur. I've had a lot of failures. I mean, a ton of them, things that people probably will never hear about. I mean, listen, I had a booth in the mall one time. So that, I mean, it tells you I've done a bunch of things. You know, but the one thing that changed for me in the last 3 years was my mindset. Really changing who I'm hanging around, start changing my pattern of my day, started looking at things that I thought was normal and started challenging what's the normal. And you know, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because I hear a lot of people say they want it. They're tired of being sick and tired, but what are you willing to sacrifice at the moment to get what you want for the longevity? And I think that's an important thing, man. At 30 years old, I moved back home with my mom. You know, that's a difficult thing to do at that age, especially because your 30th birthday, you're starting to feel like, you know, you're supposed to be somewhere. I don't know who put that rule out there, but guys, but it's not real. It's not real. Is it, Trevor? It's not real.
No, it's not at all, man.
It's not. And now that I'm 30, I'm 34 now, I feel like I am 21, to be honest with you. You know, so life is a lot better with money. Obviously, we both know that. But you know, it's the mindset thing and tricking yourself to believing what is normal. Giving up the sacrifices, man. I spent, not that you have to not sleep, but I spent a lot of long nights figuring out this business. licking postcards when I first started, or, you know, envelopes, and really learning. Like, I spent so much time learning the tax code. Like, and anybody knows me, I'm dyslexic. So I had to read not only small print of the general statute, but I had to read lawyer talk to actually understand what the tax code and what you can and can't do. And I educated myself on that one problem, fixing that one problem. And if you do that, and I tell people that a lot, get in this business and learn how to solve one thing. And if you learn how to solve that, you're going to be successful even in your own right. I mean, listen, an extra 10 to 20 grand a month is very, very great, you know, in America,
yep,
and anywhere in the world, actually. So mindset change is a big one, man.
Dude, and I want to dive in this a little bit more, and then we'll kind of switch back to a couple investment tactic things. And sure. If there's a couple questions, let's see, it's something they created. Yeah, so we'll answer some of the questions. We'll leave some time for some questions at the end with Max, that where people are putting it through the questions panel on our live stream page. If you're not on our live stream page right now, y'all go to carrot.com/summit/live, and you can see the live stream page. That's where all the resources are. That's where the chat box is. But one concept that I like to talk about a lot, because I had to go through this, is just-in-time learning versus just-in-case learning. And when I find people struggling and they're not in the spot where they want to be, but they're working their butts off and they're putting in 40, 50, 60 hours in, it's usually because they're learning the things they don't need to know right now. They're going crazy broad, right? They're like learning everything they could possibly learn. There's analysis paralysis in there. But like you mentioned, look at what is the one thing you can be an expert in. It could be like Max did. I'm going to be the expert in my market. I'm going to be the expert. I'm going to know the assessor's office better than anyone else. You know, that's part of it. Or maybe I'm going to dig in. I'm going to crush the SEO side of it. Like you're going to hear this afternoon with Dave Brown and Tyler Ford. They just said, I'm just going to learn one thing, and then you can stack on things later. And they have an amazing business just doing SEO. And other guys are like, I'm just going to do PPC. And then they stack something on. So make sure you guys learn one thing. You could be an expert in this year. It's not going to take as long as you think, like a quarter, 3 months.
Be obsessed with that one thing. I think that's right, man, because a lot of people look at the business that I've built and other people online and their friends and say, I need that. Like, I need 4 cold callers. I need a staff of 8. I need 2 virtual assistants. When the reality is, I made a lot of money by myself in a room, doing phone calls myself. I made a lot of money. I made $20,000 to $30,000 before I had anybody on staff. And I mean, repeatedly, month after month. So you don't have to have a lot of people. You really just need to educate yourself on that one thing, become good at it.
Yep.
I gave up my first year. I probably gave up a dozen or more subject to deals. I just wasn't ready, mm-hmm. But I was an expert at something else. So I think finding that one thing is important.
It is. And kind of relating to my journey a little bit too is with Carrot, we're a bigger company. Now we have a couple dozen employees and, multiple 7 figures in revenue, one of the fast growing companies in America. But our first 2.5 years, we did one marketing strategy, like literally one. We didn't turn on a paid ad for two and a half years into this company. I'm not saying not to
awesome.
Do that. I'm just saying,
man, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm just saying we're just going to focus on one thing, and we got really good at it. And then we're going, okay, now that we got good at this, there's some systems. Now let's amplify it. Now let's amplify that. And that's how you scale up and you start to build the team. So let's transition to team. So people have a context. What does your current team look like now? I know you've got remote employees. Mm-hmm. What does your current team look like right now?
So I have 4 remote employees. One handles strictly all the inbound calls we have from leads on outbound marketing, except for RVM. So she can never handle that herself. So anything like bandit signs, billboards, deal machine postcards, any outbound effort we have, even PPC, the website, it all goes to that one person. She's very great. She's been with me for over a year. Then I have an admin assistant that is over all of the data we pull, organizing it, putting it into certain softwares, making sure each person has the data that they're supposed to have on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Mm-hmm. I have 2 cold callers overseas that are mainly doing the wide list. And then now you come in-house, I have an admin assistant/transaction coordinator. two inside salespeople that are making phone calls, and you have two acquisitions manager, and one of those acquisitions manager also splits as the sales manager that's over the team that we're building right now that we need two more people to complete. So it sounds like a lot, but it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit, but it's growing, and you know, it's fun. I think you know that. I think it's the fun part of owning a business is having employees. Yep. It's the most brain hard. It's a hard thing, but it's the fun part of it as well.
It doesn't get easier. Like that's the thing that you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this person in my life. My life is going to massively change. And here's the journey that I have gone on. Is those first couple people, you're really delegating tasks, right? So it's really important. And as we've grown, I've always found there's two things. There's just like literally two things that we have to do anytime we hit a bottleneck, anytime we're hitting, you know, a ceiling in growth and revenue, productivity, whatever. It's always a communication change and or a process change. So in this case, when you're solo, you were sitting there in your bedroom cold calling or whatever you're doing and making money. You're like, oh my gosh, I need to replicate myself. So you created systems. So you could document it. Hey, this person, mm-hmm. do this, say this on the phone, then do this. So you had to sit down and do that. And then next you had to create a communication cadence. What's the communication cadence between you and that person? You know, it's maybe they're going to send you an email daily that says, here's what I did. Kind of my process on those initial VAs and stuff like that is I want a daily email from them. I want the email saying, here's what I did today. Here's the questions I have, and here's roadblocks or bottlenecks I have. Here's what I did today. Here's the questions I have. Here's the roadblocks or bottlenecks. If they send me a daily email, then cool. Then we can start to create more processes. But then as you grow, as you get a bigger team around that 8, 10, 12 mark, then it's less about delegating tasks. It's more about how do I delegate some decisions, things like that. That's mm-hmm. kind of where we are right now is 24 people going to be hiring another probably 6 or 7 this year. And it's all about building a leadership team at this point and delegating decisions. 100%.
I just brought my older brother in as COO at the top of the year mm-hmm. so that I can make less decisions myself. Yep. And that's part of it too, to have somebody there that I don't want to make every decision, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
And at that point, that's where you get freedom. So I always talk about the four things that most entrepreneurs look for in a business. It's like freedom, flexibility, grow those finances, and grow your impact. And Max talked about a lot of the impact he's already making through the following he's building. Man, I see comments all the time that you highlight in there where it's like this person says, I did a deal because I followed exactly what Max says on his free YouTube videos. And I love that, man. You're making an impact to hundreds of thousands of people, but then your finances are growing because your impact is also growing. And as you build out that team, y'all, and you build systems and you figure out that communication cadence where people can kind of run and it moves more slowly, that's where you get more freedom and flexibility. But you've got to be willing to put your head down during some of those phases where you're going to have less freedom. You're going to have less flexibility for a bit of time.
Sacrifices. And that's where, so to be truly transparent, right now, my company is going through a low. You know, December, October was a pretty bad month. December yep. was, you know, pretty, it was okay. It was better than October. But right now we're going to that growing stage. And I know that I have to sacrifice some revenue right now in order to grow because I'm implementing new people, new tasks, new SOPs so that I can free up some of my time and eventually take it beyond the normal numbers that we were doing prior to growing.
Dude, I'm gonna take that, and I want to say an analogy to people. And if you're not paying attention right now, if you're distracted, come back because this right here, piggybacking off what Max said, is gonna be a big deal for you. So what Max said was, at points you've got to pull back, you've got to sometimes go down before you can go up, right? And I think a lot of people, we always think it's this continual ride up. We think it's this continual ride up where it's always like this. And imagine this: so you have a seed. Okay, you take a seed, you have a seed. In order for a seed to become a tree, what does it first have to do? In order for the seed to become a tree, you plant it in there, you put the dirt over the top of it, you put water on top of it. The first thing a seed does usually is it goes down first, and then it starts to come up. Okay, the seed sprouts down, starts to go out, the roots start to go out, and then it starts to go up. So only can the seed can't transform into something new until it goes down first and then it grows up. So now let's picture this. The tree's growing. It's got the strong roots. It transformed from one state to another. It transformed from a seed into something completely different, but it only did that by going down first and then up. You got this amazing tree. There's a nest up there, okay? There's a nest up there, and there's a bluebird or whatever up there in the nest. And it has some babies. The eggs crack through, and you've got these amazing, beautiful bluebirds. And the babies are sitting up there on the top of the nest, and the mother's out there fetching worms, coming back, feeding it. And one day, that darn bird has to then fly on its own. And it stands up, it sees out there, it's like all nervous and how it's going to make this happen. And eventually, when it's ready, it jumps out of that nest. And it goes down, starts flapping its wings, starts figuring out, okay, I'm getting this. And then it goes up. And so the only way, if you're looking to grow in 2019, y'all, like Max said, even if you're successful right now, you might have to pull back a little bit. You might have to pull back for a month or 2 months to create system and to get the right people on board. You might have to pull all of your marketing back for 2 weeks to retool things. You might have to, you know, dial in your website or whatever it is. If you're not where you want to be right now, you might need to make an investment, a money investment, a time investment, where your freedom and flexibility gets taken away for a bit of time so you can focus on learning the skills that you need, or where you make a big investment money-wise where your bank account goes down, you learn the right things, you get the right systems, you get right around the right people, and then it grows and expands. And the same thing happened to me in 2012. You know, I was making, low six figures, you know, net and pretty decent. I remember this sort of in 2012 or 13, my taxable income that year was probably like 30 something grand. In 2012 or 13, before that, taxable income was 180, 170, 225. My income took a hit, but I did it on purpose because I trimmed the tree, man. I pumpkin planted. I'm like, I'm trimming everything off this vine except for one thing, like Max said. I'm going to focus on being good at one thing. And I'm okay with my income going way back. And I'm going to focus on one thing. And I'm going to be insanely good at it, the best in the world at it. And then I'm going to grow it. And it grew into, you know, what Carrot is today and some other things. So don't be afraid to invest. Don't be afraid to go backwards before you can grow up. Don't be afraid to go down before you can go up, y'all.
I was thinking of a picture to somebody draw and put it on a canvas for me. That's perfect.
So let's transition to this. We have a few minutes. You should use that at Wholesaling Elite Live, man. So
absolutely.
When is that event? So people know where they can meet you. And when's the event? Where is it?
So quick backstory. October, I did a Wholesaling Elite event. We call it We Live 18 because it happened in 2018. It was 430 people in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had a blast. We learned everybody. People from there are growing. You know, people are producing money now. I put together some of the biggest gurus in the country. And I say gurus on purpose because they're not known professional speakers. Mm-hmm. But they're going to share their secrets. Scott Utz, I mean, he's got a $4 million wholesaling business and he's there sharing stuff. I bring all these people that I know personally from traveling and putting them together. And we all talk about wholesaling for 3 days. Now we're doing the new one in 2019 in March, Dallas, Texas. It's the largest wholesaling conference ever put on ever. We have the capacity for 1500 people. We're going to only sell 1200 tickets for this one. People can go get their tickets at wholesalingelitelive.com. It's pretty cool. It's going to be amazing. Got special guest speakers, so many breakout rooms. Believe it or not, Carrot's going to be a part of it. Trevor doesn't know yet, but we're going to really give him something because he's got so much value to add, and him and his company and his staff, he's going to be there. It's just amazing, man. I've never thought that 2 years ago that I can be able to put 1,200 people in a room to talk about something that I have passion about. Yeah. And 1,200 people would have the same passion I would have in this. So it's amazing. I can't wait to do this again, man. Dallas, Texas, you know, they say it's bigger in Texas. So that's why we had to go do it there.
Dude. And the reason it's going to be big this year, I mean, it was big last year for your first one, dude. And the reason it's going to be big is the word you just use, passion. You know, people are attracted to that. And there's not too many, and this isn't because you're on the line. There's not too many people in the entire real estate industry who can put 1,000 people plus into a room. And it's not because Max is the biggest investor in the world. It's because he's sharing everything that he's doing. He's sharing the bumps, the bruises, the wins, and people resonate with it, man. So
I'm far from the biggest, man. I still call people the other day and ask them, how do I hire this person? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. This year I'm looking, personally, I'm looking to learn more about apartment complex investing. Yep. So I'm going to be looking to go to some of those conferences here soon this year. and expand myself and really grow. But man, I learn every single day. I make mistakes every single day. We made a mistake yesterday that cost us a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It happens, man. I've signed contracts and literally dropped the ball on them and literally forgot about them until a couple of days before closing. You know, so we've done it. I mean, that's just in the last 2 months. So we're not perfect. I think anybody that is not human. And I think you guys should just go out there and do it. I don't know what stage you are or what your audience is right now watching this. But listen, man, if I can do this and other people you see can do this, it is truly anybody can do it, man. It's just you got to make some sacrifices in the beginning and learn this business. The cash sounds great, but learn this business. Learn one thing in this business and you'll be secure for the rest of your life.
Dude, I love it, man. Awesome. Well, Max, any parting words, man?
No, man, I just want to say, listen, guys, go out there and do it. Make a simple sacrifice now so that you can live the life you really want to later. It's possible, man. I am so blessed to be where I am from where I was 2 years ago, and so blessed to meet somebody like Trevor. Man, thanks for having me. And every time we meet and do something together, it's always great. So let's continue to make magic.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to that episode. If it's going to help you grow your business, make sure you go to carrot.com/summit. Grab the recordings while they're still available for 50% off, $99. That's carrot.com/summit. If you regularly listen to the CarrotCast and you haven't got the chance to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes yet, please head over there and just take a couple minutes to leave us a review. That is our fuel. That is what keeps us motivated and excited about putting these episodes out every single week and engaging with you guys. So thanks again for being a listener, and we will see you next week.